everybody, Bill Buckmaster with you on this Friday, the final day of February the 28th, 2025. Tom Fairbanks, my buddy, engineering and producing the program. Going to be a delightful weekend. Well, maybe not so much if you don't. I don't particularly like windy, dusty days, but
well, that's what we're in for tomorrow afternoon. Apparently,
oh,
it's some wind and maybe patchy, blowing dust.
40-plus mile an hour winds. Well, good day to kind of stay inside. Anyway, Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. We're in the Bustos Media Broadcast Center. We have five radio stations now under one roof. All of them are doing very well. This one's 1030 KVOI, Tucson's trusted voice for live local news and talk. We are now in our 15th year with our radio program. That milestone happened in early January, and my 37th year here in Tucson radio and TV. We have our worldwide live listening and podcasts at buckmastershow.com when we do our telephone interviews. And the live line is always open for folks to call in, make a comment, or ask a question. 520-790-2040. The live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Couple of our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com, Green Valley News, and Sahuarita Sun, and Tucson Spotlight. Joe Ferguson is my co-host from the Tucson Media. We try to bring in a different person to join me in our Friday interviews from our media. And Joe, former Arizona Daily Star reporter, now the editor of the online news service Tucson Agenda. And Joe, I think you're doing pretty darn good.
I get
it in my mailbox every morning at 6 o'clock.
Appreciate it, Bill.
It's as reliable as the alarm clock going off. But you are trying to cover to local government.
That's my bread and butter.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm very excited about it.
And I'm glad that you're doing it. Our Friday Focus interview today, Dr. Kate Kensky. Hey, Kate. Always a pleasure to have you on the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
Kate Kensky, Professor of Communication, Government, and Public Policy at the University of Arizona, where she teaches political communication, public opinion, and research methods. She's the Associate Editor of Public Opinion Quarterly. She co-authored the book titled The Obama Victory, How Media, Money, and Message Shaped the 2008 Election. That book has won many awards. Her current research focuses on incivility in online forums. Certainly, there's a lot of that. So you're probably
no shortage there.
You're probably not having too many areas where you can't find that. And multimedia teaching strategies to mitigate cognitive biases. Let's begin, Kate, by talking a little bit about the unofficial motto in Silicon Valley, which is move fast and break things. It appears that the Trump administration has certainly picked up that motto.
I think that's an appropriate feel. I mean, certainly we've elected someone who is not a fan of government and mm-hmm. wanted to make big changes.
But they're wholesale changes, and they're hurting a ton of people and a lot of people who are doing really good work or were doing very good work.
I think one of the, that I say things like interesting, really important things to note is that in previous changes in administration, a lot of what government does is not just the rules that we have on pieces of paper, but a series of norms and institutional memory. And one of the things that Trump has managed to do is to really go after that institutional memory, things that are not necessarily written down, but are embodied in the people who run the government. And by getting rid of them, big changes are able to take place.
Joe Ferguson, I've had a couple of folks messaging me that a lot of people have seen what's gone on in the White House just a few minutes ago with Zelensky and Trump, and pretty startling, actually.
I was listening on the way in. It was very disconcerting. I'm sure both sides are going to claim victory once they go back to their respective corners, but I just don't see how this is a helpful move forward in this issue. I mean, people are dying every day and they're having petty fights about whose gratitude is important here. And so it's distressing, to be honest.
And it characterizes Dr. Kensky about the, kind of the way Trump is running things, like it's a little bit like his former TV show. It's like it's all about a deal. I mean, and today Trump telling Zelensky, hey, accept the deal or the United States is out. Basically, get out of the room, man, if you don't want this deal. Everything now is the deal. And I think Trump even had a book, didn't he, called
The Art of the deal.
Yeah.
Which we should remind our listeners was ghostwritten.
Oh, okay.
I mean, yes, I think one of the things that Trump said today, and it's different from the way previous presidents have handled negotiations when it comes to foreign leaders, is he said, this is great television, right? Oh, really? It was one of his quotations. Yes, this is great television. And I think that, you know, embodies what he's trying to do, which was not necessarily have a negotiation, but to make everything, you know, out for him to get, you know, that type of coverage. You know, other things that, you know, were said to, you know, Zelensky, one was that, you know, he should be more grateful, you know, all done in front of an audience of reporters.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And speaking of reporters, Joe Ferguson, those of us who do this kind of work are finding so many changes now in covering the president.
Yeah, I'm deeply concerned about the removal of the AP from the press room and Air Force One. I don't think that's the last we're going to hear about it. And if you don't have an adversarial press in the White House briefing room, then it's going to become another echo chamber, which mm-hmm. is the exact opposite of what we need in our society. We need rational conversations. We need trusted news sources. And handpicking the people you want in the White House is a dangerous step in the wrong direction.
And it's one that was not embraced by previous Republican presidents. So I think we need to keep in mind that this is not just a break or a difference between how Republicans handle themselves or have handled themselves in the past and how Democrats do. I mean, what he's essentially done is segmented away the press in a way to only get those supporting, you know, his points of view to give him that favorable coverage. I mean, we could contrast it with, for example, you know, George W. Bush, you know, who, of course, you know, on his bus ride with the campaign had Nancy Pelosi's daughter, you know, there. That's a very different model of how we can, you know, embrace the other side. And when you decide to prioritize really having civic discussions with, you know, everyone.
You watched very carefully, like we all did, Trump, the first Trump 4 years. Now we have Trump 2.0. Dr. Kensky, what's jumping out at you in the first 30-plus days? What's different?
Well, one is, and I think this is, you know, true of anyone, like, you know, you have a new job, you're not exactly sure what your limits are. And I think the approach that he certainly has taken is, well, let's test it and see. And so, you know, as you mentioned, you know, let's break it. You know, he's pushing the limits as far as he can until he gets pushback. One thing that he has on his side, of course, is a Congress, you know, you know, I'm not sure if it's that they support him or that they are afraid of having, you know, being one of his targets. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, that's very different, too. He doesn't have a mechanism really to put on the brakes in the same way that he did the first time around.
In the 1950s, there was a senator from Wisconsin who a lot of people were very, very afraid of, McCarthy. And there are echoes of this, at least I think so. Would you agree with me, Dr. Kensky?
Yeah.
In the fear factor that people are afraid to speak up.
I think they are. And it's hard too, right? Because when people don't speak up, you don't know if they actually agree with him or if it is that fear motivating them. But it seems like everyone wants someone else to test the waters on the pushback. They don't want to have the spine to do it themselves. And that's, you know, kind of what we need for the democracy to work. And this is, you know, even outside of Trump, you know, what does democracy need? It needs multiple points of view and it needs people in positions where they feel like they can speak without having, you know, retribution at every turn.
Here's Joe Ferguson.
So I just want to get a sense. I mean, when do you're an expert on polling? When do his disfavorables become a point where he has to put the brakes on things? Right now, he's doing all these things. His numbers are beginning to lower. But if he's at 49 right now, is it 30 before you see politicians make course corrections?
Approval. 49% approval.
Yeah. So, I mean, so the polling really is, I mean, interesting. So what we have seen is, first of all, the first term before anyone, well, right before someone takes office, usually there's glow, right? And so that tends to be a little bit artificially high. And that's the case for every new president, you know, coming in because they were just chosen by the people. So he was in like around, you know, somewhere between 52%, you know, roughly, or 55, depending on what poll you're looking at. Shortly after he took office and started making a bunch of decisions and having those executive orders come through, his numbers kind of stayed around 49%, and that's where they have been for the approval. We have seen changes in the disapproval ratings, and so those started off around 42% of citizens saying that they disapproved of what he was doing, and that has creeped up. So now it is, you know, I would say just under, like, somewhere around, you know, 47-48%, again, depending on the poll. And so we're seeing that increase in disapproval. The question of, you know, when will things change? I think when the disapprovals are higher than the approvals, for one. So that has to shift. And I would say that the Congress has to feel like, oh, maybe we shouldn't be blindly doing whatever he says. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, our supporters don't like that.
Mm-hmm. Many have wondered, Joe Ferguson and Dr. Kensky, why Mr. Musk hasn't been brought before Congress to explain what he is doing. Go ahead, Joe.
But, so, yeah, I was on a teletown call with Gallegos last night,
okay,
and that question was asked, and he just said, listen, we're in the minority. We don't have the real appeal to bring people in. So when we want to bring somebody in like Musk, he can just ignore us because we're in the minority. He says that unless the House changes to Democratic control or the Senate changes, that's not going to change anytime soon. And so he just says that he would love to bring Musk in. He would love to question him, but Musk is under no obligation to do that because they don't have the votes to bring him in.
Mm. And I would just add, I mean, it's an interesting situation. And I think we have this with, you know, what happens when, for example, the courts make certain decisions and then the government, through the enforcement of the president, decides not to do it.
You must have read my mind. That was the next question, because that, Dr. Kensky and Joe Ferguson, is the ultimate backstop. And if that backstop is ignored or for whatever reason, then we'll have a real test to see whether who's going to actually enforce what the courts are saying.
Right. And I mean, right now, it's just if one branch just decides to do its own thing, but the others decide not to listen, it really does put us in a bit of a constitutional crisis. And that's why you are seeing, you know, petitions, particularly among like scholars and academics who study this, say this is a real concern. Mm-hmm. When you have, you know, one branch not willing to stay in its lanes, pushing the boundaries, but not having pushback from another one of the branches, that becomes a problem.
Well, Musk in the Oval Office said, we don't want Ebola to come to this country. So he said that a waiver was put out. Well, the people that are still left at the United States aid agency say there's no money now. All the money has been frozen. There's no money for Ebola vaccine or research or even for anything with AIDS in Africa, Joe Ferguson. There's no money to back up what the so-called waivers are being issued.
Well, I think that as journalists, we have to not just take them at their word. And I think that's what's really important about what we're seeing in this microcosm of an issue, is that Musk said one thing and reporters asked USAID, is this happening? And they said no. And so we have to have this kind of skepticism that's healthy when we're talking about the Trump administration. They're going to announce something, but we have to see if they're going to carry that forward. We're going to see if, you know, things are happening. A lot of the changes that are being reversed are being done at the judicial level. Not just because they've been shamed by the press to hire back nuclear weapon experts to make sure that our stockpile is safe, but I mean, it's mostly the courts that are pushing back and putting TROs in place.
T TROs?
Temporary restraining orders.
Oh, there you go. Okay, we'll take a break right here. It's Buckmaster on a Friday afternoon. Dr. Kate Kensky from the University of Arizona is our Friday Focus interview. Joe Ferguson from Tucson Agenda is my co-host. Be right back.
Located in the heart of Arizona wine country, about an hour south of Metro Tucson, Flying Leap Estate Vineyards Winery and Distillery Facilities are one of the most beautiful wine venues in the southwestern United States. Come relax and unwind at our spacious property and learn about Arizona grape viticulture and winemaking from our team of trained sommeliers and discover the intricacies of the art of distillation. Learn more at flyingleapvineyards.com.
Travel is in my DNA. When I'm ready to start another adventure, my trip begins and ends at our local airport, Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. TUS, where it's made easy to fly. Start planning now for your next air adventure by visiting flytucson.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority invests over $100 million annually in transportation improvements in the greater Tucson region based on public input. The RTA and its regional partners deliver roadway, transit, safety, pedestrian, bicycle, environmental, and other needed improvements to meet the demands of transportation network users over a 20-year period. Learn more about the economic and quality of life benefits of the RTA's 2006 voter-approved plan and flexible funding at rtamobility.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on a lovely Friday afternoon in Tucson, Arizona. Dr. Kate Kensky from the University of Arizona. It's always great to have Dr. Kensky with us, and she is since people are in and out of the car, this noontime's like a drive time. People are in and out of the car. So who is Dr. Kensky? Well, she is a professor of communication and government and public policy at the University of Arizona. She teaches public communication, public opinion, and research methods. And Joe Ferguson is here. And those of us who have been around a while in the media, we know Joe. Good reporter, real solid reporter, former Arizona Daily Star. A reporter who's now taken over as the editor of the online news service, Tucson Agenda.
You've promoted me. For now, I'm a reporter.
Oh, you're a reporter? Not the editor?
Kurt's the editor. So
Kurt Prendergast.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Kurt's the editor, and you're the reporter. But whoever's doing what, you guys are you're doing a good job.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
All right. So the economy, when Dr. Kensky was last visiting with us, we had her on, I think it might have been the Friday after the November election, and we were talking about what drove the election in Trump's favor, and it was pocketbook issues, wasn't it?
It was. Perceptions. I mean, perceptions of the economy are always one of the strongest predictors of how people vote.
So we look at what's going on with inflation seemingly going up, these layoffs— We've got a lot of people grumbling about the way things are going on the indices on with the markets. Could that be playing a role in the disfavorables for President Trump?
Oh, definitely. I think that's where part of the increase is coming from. You have, you know, people who were never going to support him. Mm-hmm. You have, you know, those who are her supporters. And then, of course, you have the people who didn't vote or didn't decide between between Harris and and Trump. And so I think it's among those in particular, when they're looking at this, they're saying, wait a minute, I'm not doing so well under this administration.
And the distractions, Joe Ferguson, what did we have this week? One of the distractions that if you put up, what is it, $5 million, you can buy U.S. citizenship.
Yeah, I think that that's something that's really important for, you know, everybody to do is realize that there are distractions and then there's actual governance being going on. We need to take very close attention to the layoffs and the policy changes that are happening that are impacting our communities. I think that the gold card is something he would love to talk about because it distracts us from other things. And they are hoping that there is just an attention span that's not long enough to look at both issues. And so we've been trying very carefully as a media to make sure that we focus on local issues, how they're impacting the community, what these changes mean, and not focus on proposals for gold cards or whatever
or,
the distraction of the day is.
Threatening to take over Gaza and build a casino or something. Resort in Gaza.
That's right. That was, some videos floating on Social Truth by the White House, proposing those very things. But as Joe said, that part of this is distraction. He has a lot of things going on, and the hope is that we focus on the ones that we react most viscerally to, while other things happen behind the scenes that really also present fundamental changes. I mean, such as, for example, on Tuesday, we had the House voting on a budget, which, of course, was, cutting, programs like Medicaid and SNAP.
Mm-hmm. So what do the what does the opposition do at this point? Democrats probably are trying to figure out how do we start to I hope they're trying to figure it out. Otherwise, they're in big trouble because the midterms are basically right around the corner. So what do they message right now?
So I think one of the things they have to do is focus on, who is getting hurt and trying to make a connection even with people who don't necessarily benefit directly from some of the government programs, but we indirectly benefit. So for example, when the economy goes down, well, what do we know happens? When the economy goes down, people are stressed. Crime goes up, domestic violence goes up, all sorts of things that affect, all of us, not just those for whom mm-hmm. the government programs were assisting.
Mm-hmm. Here's Joe Ferguson.
So I think that you also have to keep in mind that these announcements that happen don't necessarily turn into tangible policies. And I think it's important to focus on what's happening right now. And so inflation is up. The cost of eggs is up. A decision about the flu vaccine that will affect countless Americans in 6 months is, being deferred. And so I think these are important things to keep in mind when you have this onslaught of news. And so, we want to focus on the things that affect you, not necessarily the things that make you happy or outrage you.
Here's one for you, Dr. Kensky. Some of these distractions we've talked about, and of course, making Canada the 51st state, renaming the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America, are they part of a pattern of an ideology that is driven by pure flexing of power? How would you answer that question?
I mean, I think yes, but also just the fact that it's, an idea that they could float it, and I do think it is about distraction. So getting us riled up about, these types of things, meanwhile making substantive change to policies, getting rid of programs that people actually need. So this strategy was, referred to as flooding the zone. you know, you flood it with a whole lot of issues to get people to disperse. And so different people, different issues will resonate with different individuals, upsetting them. And then there's an inability to coalesce around the issues that truly matter.
Joe?
I couldn't agree more. I think that we saw that at the Tuesday night vote at the House. You know, I read about two legislators that were being kept in a broom closet to hopefully confuse the Republicans on how many Democrats were going to vote that night. So, I mean, I think that you're seeing a lot of distractions going on, but there are some substantive policy changes that are happening that are impacting families here in Tucson and throughout the country. And so, you know, the number of people just on Medicaid in congressional districts is something that Juan is really concerned about. So I don't, he voted for the package, but at the same time, he said he's willing to lose his job if Medicare is on the line, Medicaid, excuse me.
Let's go over to that. We touched briefly on your current research about incivility in online forums. Are you noticing since the election any changes, Dr. Kate Kensky?
Yeah, you know, and we're also having to kind of change how we think about incivility. So typically we define incivility as a break in norms. And what happens when, well, suddenly people are very comfortable using certain terms that, you know, just 5 years ago would have been considered unconscionable to use. So I've been focusing, I guess I should change my bio a little bit to focus on things that I think, you know, hurt. So like name calling hurts. So even if a certain part of the population thinks it's okay to use the N-word, you know, there's a problem there because of what name calling does in terms of our communication. If certain groups are called names, there's less incentive to have, you know, some kind of discussion at the table and have a conversation. So that's a huge problem. So yes, we're seeing rises in name calling, in various types of toxic speech, which definitely is a problem.
Where's the empathy, Joe Ferguson, for our neighbors and our veterans who are suddenly being laid off? I don't know. I don't see it there. It seems like this is a different country.
I definitely see the community responding in a healthy way. Maybe in different channels than you are.
Okay.
And so I think it is happening in families, in communities where they are rallying around to support each other. And I think that what we are seeing is a breakdown of what is normal, a change in the Overton window of something that you couldn't even think about 5 years ago is now something that's being discussed and someday might be normalized. And I think that's where we're really seeing the change. And so the thing about the Overton window that's very important to remember is that you can always change it backwards too if there is a grassroots level change in society that wants these things. They're breaking the norms so that when somebody is fired, you can just label them as a DEI hire, that they were never qualified. And that has become something that's accepted now, that they believe that that's true. And it sets aside all sorts of logic and rules that are, you know, agreed upon in this community. So I think that this is what happens. We're losing those norms now to name calling and, you know.
Well, look at the fear factor that has now trickled down to the university level where you are, Dr. Kensky, as the University of Arizona has dropped any reference in the mission statement to diversity.
Yeah, diversity and inclusion.
And inclusion.
You know, I mean, inclusion. You know, quite a change, especially since the university had put, you know, quite a bit of effort in trying to cultivate that is a strength.
That's right. And then that is, why did that happen? Well, the fear of federal research money drying up at the University of Arizona, which is a huge percentage of the budget.
And I guess we should add the state as well.
The
right?
state.
The state also saying that, you know, if you, I mean, the House anyway, saying that, you know, if you, you know, focus on these types of things, like, you know, gender identity, race, your state funds could be affected as well.
As journalists, Joe, what choices do we have in this day and age covering Trump?
we can't back down. We absolutely, as a journalistic community, have to rally and maintain those cohesions to protect each other. An attack on the AP is an attack on the Tucson agenda. Mm-hmm. An attack on, you know, who's in the room changes the conversation. Mm-hmm. And so we have to push back. We have to keep fighting. We can't be doing this. Trump just said a couple of days ago he wanted to see journalists in jail. I'm ready for that. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to change who I am. I'm not going to change how I write. I'm not going to change what I say on this radio show or anywhere else. We can't be cowered into it. We can't obey in advance.
Dr. Kensky, we've got about 5 minutes left, and I'm just wondering, where are you seeing, where do we go from here for folks that don't like what they're seeing?
Well, one is, and I know this goes against a lot of people's instincts.
Okay.
But it is to, you know, normally you stay quiet about politics. And maybe if that makes you uncomfortable, don't focus on the parties, but do talk about policy. You know, are members of your family affected by certain cuts? You know, what does it mean for you when your neighbors are affected in a certain way? Are you uncomfortable with certain things happening to other people as long as it doesn't affect you? Mm-hmm. I mean, so I think some soul searching needs to take place. Mm-hmm. But to speak out, to speak with others and ask their thoughts and to ask questions.
You know, we talked when you were here on the Friday after the election about how polling methods and the strategies have changed. That trend you see pushing more and more over to people aren't answering certainly landlines anymore. I don't know. There may less be 10% of the American people still have a landline. I happen to have one. But so how are we finding out what people are thinking in this country right now, Kate Kensky?
Yeah, so I mean, so I say a couple things. You know, one is, you know, we can, of course, look at anecdotal information, but we are biased by the networks we're in. So that becomes a problem, particularly if we're not consciously listening to, you know, information from the other side. So that is a problem. So I would say polling is still probably the best way. As I often say, though, when I'm talking with you, you know, polls are not necessarily great to tell us exactly where we're at, but we can look at polls to look at trends. And so if we see, you know, changes over time, I think that those changes are real. The direction of the changes are real. But, you know, is Trump's approval truly at 49% versus 45% or 50%? That part's hard to say. Mm-hmm. But we can look at trends. Mm-hmm. What I would say, you know, like again for him is his approvals are holding steady, but he is also getting an increase in those disapprovals. Mm-hmm. We can also see when we look at, you know, polls about, you know, different government programs. I mean, most people don't want most government agencies to be completely gutted, according to the polls. The only one that's, you know, rating right now is people being okay to reduce or eliminate is the Department of Government Efficiency.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, but I still think that's the best way because you're talking to as many people as you can.
Here's one that sort of went from the back of my mind, Joe, and Kate, to the front of my mind. Trump is, the Republican Party is built around Trump, one individual. What's the Republican Party going to do post-Trump?
That is a fantastic question because, of course, you know, in the past, it was built upon, you know, an ideology, you know, wanting smaller government. I mean, wanting efficient government, but still wanting government. I think that's in part, you know, a big part of the difference. I don't think many people would, you know, be against, you know, things running better, running more efficiently, you know, being against audits, mm-hmm. right? But if you don't have people there to carry those things out, they can't really take place in a fair, judicious, you know, manner that's transparent.
Mm-hmm. I know you're not a presidential historian, but it is interesting to reflect on in our history, have we ever had a party that was so identified with one individual? It became that it's really, it isn't Republicanism, Joe and Dr. Kensky, it's Trumpism.
I mean, mean, I certainly think there's been darlings of different parties.
Andrew
I think
Jackson.
Right. I mean, I think for modern Teddy presidency, Roosevelt, you know, we can look at points in time where we, you know, where we see what we call realignments and see if those realignments are really based on issues or based on personalities. And I do think sometimes the personality helps prompt the realignment. So, for example, with Ronald Reagan, I mean, part of the realignment of becoming more socially conservative, you know, took place, you know, under Ronald Reagan. But I mean, to the extent, was the party all about Reagan?
No. Joe, any final thoughts before we let Dr. Kensky go?
I just want to know if there's a number, if there's a tipping point in polling where we know that there's large changes in where the politics are going. So if the disapproval rating for Trump hits 70%, does that mean that, you know, it's going to be a good year for the Democrats in 2026?
Good question.
That's a great question. I think it always changes depending on who's in control. And I think that that's the thing that, that makes me hard, like hard pressed to give a number. Because, you know, even, for example, when George W. Bush was like at 29%, which was considered, you know, horrible, you know, McCain, it made it harder for him to run in 2008. But I would say it wasn't impossible. So even then, so, you know, what would we need to see? I do think it'd be something like that where, you know, Bill talked about the 35, you know, percent hardcore. I think you need
30 to 35% hardcore that have really, they've been with Donald Trump since the very beginning. And when Donald Trump made the statement that he could shoot someone on Fifth Avenue and these people would basically look the other way.
Yeah. I mean, so I think if those end up being his only supporters, then you know, maybe at that point in time, the Republicans in Congress will have to rethink when they make decisions based because it's what the president wants versus whether it's really driven by the philosophy of their particular constituents.
All right, Dr. Kate Kensky. Thank you, Dr. Kensky. Always a pleasure to see you.
Thank you for having me.
And Joe Ferguson, segment three is coming up after the break. Let's talk a little bit about some of the things you've been writing about in Tucson Agenda, okay?
Be happy to.
All right, be right back. Buckmaster on a Friday.
Vero Amore, where every certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore is located in the lovely Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell. Also, check out the full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Segment three on Friday means that my media co-host and I talk about what my media co-host is working on and writing about. And in the case of Joe Ferguson at Tucson Agenda, which is an online news service, they're doing their training at Davis Mountain for the air show. I don't know, Tom, did that go over the air? Probably. Yeah, a little bit. It's our mics are so very directional. Folks didn't hear the F-35. But anyway, Tucson Agenda, for folks that don't know, it is free, right?
Yep,
Joe. And it is in your mailbox 5 days a week. Get the email at 6 o'clock in the morning. And a lot of good stuff. You're covering certainly the city, Tucson City Council, Proposition 414. You've been covering extensively what's going on with the Board of Supervisors. Generally, are the city and county folks concerned about the budget freezes in Washington?
Absolutely. I think that they are still trying to estimate how it's going to impact their future budget. Programs are on hold. The county is, you know, concerned about layoffs. I think there's a lot of concern about the federal dollars that have been contractually obligated to the county. The county spent the money already.
But they haven't gotten necessarily the check.
Right.
So the money's been spent, but the check may not come.
And that's the fear. And so I think that there's a lot of bracing going on. I wrote about a week and a half ago about the county, and you know, I really congratulated them because they didn't stop. They didn't roll over. They made long-term contracts. They pushed forward on long-term goals. They didn't stop the business that they, you know, were elected to do.
Proposition 414, I had the mayor on Tuesday. Then I had Ted Maxwell, very much Southern Arizona Leadership Council and the chamber have come out opposed to it. And I've said my gut feeling just is that it will be very close. I don't know how it's going to go, but I think we can say it'll be close and it's a low turn voter mail-in election.
Yeah, no, yeah. I think it's going to be very close, and I think that's one of the reasons why it's going to be very close is that it's low turnout in these kind of elections. You're not going to have a lot of people who are going to remember about Prop 414. They are worried about other things at the time being, so I think, you know, you're going to see low turnouts, and that's going to make for a very close race.
Mm-hmm. All right, Blake Morlock was the latest at Tucson Sentinel to call for Congressman Grijalva to resign. Tim Steller had done that a couple of weeks ago in a column. What's at stake here? The congressman, who is in, I believe, his 11th term, missed the key vote for the Dems on the budget. Was he the only Dem that missed that budget, Joe Ferguson?
He was the only Democrat that missed that budget. Yeah. But I mean, that vote for on the budget, but it wouldn't have changed the outcome.
No.
And so what they're saying from his office is that he's still working with the speaker. When his vote is needed, he will be there. He voted twice in 2025 already. So it's not like he's not voting at all. Mm-hmm. And so it's difficult for him to vote regularly. There are plans for him to come back to Washington, D.C. We'll see what happens. But the call for the step downs, for those who feel very important about it, the other side of that coin is that a special election is 4 months away,
mm-hmm.
which means one less Democratic vote, which means that Tucson is not at the table any longer when it comes to these very important fights that are going on right now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a very interesting moment in time, and we'll see what happens next.
The timeline would be 4 to 6 months.
Right.
Yeah. So we would be not represented in that particular district in Congress.
Right. The only person that would be representing Tucson would be Juan Ciscomani.
Mm-hmm. So it will be very interesting when, and the congressman has been very open about the fact that, you know, he is battling cancer and this is his last 2-year term. So, wow. When he does step aside, you could see 10, 12 candidates, maybe on both sides. I don't know. Certainly on the Dem side.
I think there's going to be a lot of people who are going to be interested in it and going to run for it. As we saw when, you know, Gabby stepped down, we had a lot of interest in that race. And it was very chaotic for a while in terms of just being able to keep track of the candidates in that. I think on the Democratic side, you're going to see some infighting. Certainly, Alma Hernandez came out and said that he should step down just this week. And so she was touted around as a possible candidate for the office, but she told us just yesterday that she's not interested in running for Congress right now.
Hmm.
So.
And I wanted to, there's been no, going back to Proposition 414, which is the city's effort to raise the sales tax to 9.2%, which would, I think, maybe tie one other city in Arizona. It'd be right up there, right?
It'd be one of the largest for large cities. But if you go to South Tucson, if you go to Bisbee, if you go to Benson, you'd still pay more in sales taxes. So, yes, they're correct, but you have to put it into the context of large cities.
And I think it's worth noting, Joe, and we've only got a few seconds, but the Tucson agenda, your subscribers, you asked them a couple of key questions about how they felt about some of the funding, some of the items on 414, because there's been no formal polling. We don't really know. What were some of the key takeaways from that real quickly?
I think that the one that people should really pay attention to is the voting on the Air Force. So getting a plane, getting a helicopter, that was really split. Our readers told us that some supported it, some did not, whereas a lot of the other ones that we asked about, they were very supportive of it when it came to different aspects of Prop 414.
Always seems to jump out when folks say, well, I'm against it because the police don't need a plane or something. And the little informal poll you did was about in favor of increasing the upgrading the air fleet. 45% yes and 55% no.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that kind of might be somewhat of an indicator of maybe how overall this thing's going.
Well, in terms of what our subscribers feel.
Your subscribers, yes.
So.
All right, Joe Ferguson. Thanks, Joe. And we will look for your work, continue to look for your work. You're doing a great job at Tucson Agenda. And how do people find out about it?
Just go to TucsonAgenda.com and you can subscribe with just entering your email. And after that, you'll be in your email box 5 days a week.
And the price point?
So we do have a paid subscription model. And so it's about $100 a year if there's a sale. Sometimes we have a sale. That's why.
Okay. There you go.
So, but that gives you extra content and lets you vote in our polls and things like that.
Okay. Thank you, Joe. Have a great weekend.
Thank you so much.
All right. Coming up next, Weekend Watch with our sister station, 101.7 The Drive. We love The Drive. And Matt Gentry, the very popular morning guy, is waiting in the wings to come in and tell us what's going on this weekend.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub. serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane in North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax through June 2026. The funding has led to a $1.6 billion investment in regional transportation improvements over the past two decades to improve your quality of life. The RTA is working on a final draft of a new regional transportation plan for future voter consideration. The $2.46 billion draft plan includes roadway, transit, safety, bicycle, pedestrian, environmental, and other needed improvements. Learn more at rtanext.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita's Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita's Sun, covering your hometown.
Time for Weekend Watch with 101.7 The Drive, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Only about a three-hour drive east of Tucson, Silver City in Grant County makes a great weekend getaway. Start your planning now for an enchanting couple of days. Getaway over in the land of enchantment by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. Matt Gentry is a very popular morning guy on a very popular radio station, 101.7 The Drive. Hey, Matt, how are you?
Hello, Mr. Bill. How are you?
Mr. Bill, doing well. Friday, we love Fridays. We love to kind of close out the show with our friends across the hall from The Drive who have some good information, some tips. Anything going on this weekend?
Well, we got the 60th anniversary kickoff celebration. The Reed Park Zoo has been doing this for 60
years. Zoo. They're a wonderful sponsor here of the Buckmaster Show.
Nice.
So we're very pleased that they're having their 60th. And yeah, you guys will be taking part.
Yep, our own Ken Carr will be out there from 11 to 1. We got some great prizes to give away. The cool thing is $6 admission. I think the last time they did that was like a decade ago.
Wow, I'm sure Ken will be ready to shake paws.
Oh, yeah. I see what you did there. This is kind of fun, too. The Pets of Pima Parade and Friends.
Oh, I love that event.
Is going on a Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2.
Where is that?
6th Avenue and 7th Street.
Pima Animal Care Center. We had Steve Kasachek, the new director, on the show last Friday. It was our Friday Focus interview, and he said this year's event will be great, and it's a great opportunity for folks to help out Pima Animal Care.
Absolutely, and you know what? It's a big enough event that Fox and CW are going to be televised live.
Very
good. If I'm not mistaken.
Very good.
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Shows you just how big that is. Of course, Tucson Invitational Baseball game is going on now through the end of the month at Keno Sports Complex. If you're into NCAA D3 baseball, that is definitely the event to go to.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Spring Artisan Market's going on through Sunday as well at the Tucson Museum of Art.
Oh, they do that out on the courtyard, I think.
Yeah, that's, it's actually really cool.
It is a good event. So do you have one more or no?
We have the Tucson baseball game, the kickoff, the Cologuard Classic, of course, is going on through March 9th.
Yeah.
the Color Guard Golf Classic. Are you a fan of the Golf Classics?
I'm just not into golf.
But did you ever go to the Michael Landon Golf Classics back in the day, or the Boat Bridges?
No, I didn't. No.
Oh, you missed out, man.
I know I did. All right, Matt, so Ken Carr over at the zoo, and what else is going on the drive?
Man, we're our momentum is going really well. We've become one of the fastest growing radio stations in Tucson. It's fantastic.
The audience has continued to grow, and I watch here and I marvel at these listeners who come in. They want to meet you and the team, which is really cool. It's old school.
It
I
is.
Love it.
And thank our joy is meeting our listeners, obviously.
It's very, very cool. Matt Gentry, thanks, Matt. We'll look for your work, and we love your work. Thanks,
thank
sir.
You, sir.
The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of the program. Thanks to Tom Fairbanks, the entire team at KVOI and Bustos Media. All of us have the same wish for every one of you. Have a great weekend.